Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to hear a wonderful message from Brother Cal. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, for all the things that you've brought to us this morning, from learning about how we can come alongside and support and pray for those people, for those women at the Hope Center, from just learning about who you are, diving into our kids and just teaching them about prayer. And we just thank you for the freedom that we have found in you in this past year and in the years to come. And we just look so much forward to the sermon that we're about to hear. And may you open our hearts so that we can be transformed by the message we're about to receive. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Glad you're here. Or would y'all rather be freezing to death somewhere? I just wanted again to give a shout out to the folks who are here. They don't want me to call their names out. But it was 40 degrees in here yesterday. And there were some fellows, and our landlords came and got things worked out and fixed. So I just thank God for a warm sanctuary. Amen. Amen. So just want to start everything off by saying amen to what Janya said. And that's her husband, Todd. This is the Barnes family. And I would encourage you to keep praying for the ministry at Hope Center and be a part of that ministry. They need help. Be glad to talk to you about all that today. So this is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. If you've missed that, I don't know where your mind is today, but this is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And we're celebrating life. Look at your neighbor and say, you're alive. Now look at your other neighbor and say, are you alive? All right. Churches all over the nation this morning, pulpits, preachers, pastors are going to be lifting up life and what it means to be pro-life. And I normally on Sanctity of Life Sunday preach on abortion, but this morning I want to go even deeper than that. I want to talk about why it's so important to be pro-life and what being pro-life looks like. What it looks like. And I just want to go on record. I am pro-life from the womb all the way to the tomb. I believe in life. And everybody deserves life. So if you're here today and you've got a Bible, I just want to read. Now, this is going to be kind of a topical message. Normally, I like to take a passage of Scripture and deal with that only. But this is a topical message today. But I want to start off in Deuteronomy 30. And verse 19. By the way, the evangelist out at Kenwood last night used this verse. And I'm like, this guy's been reading my notes. And anyways, and by the way, we're having some powerful services at Kenwood. You need to come out here. You need to get out tonight and come to Kenwood at 6:30 and experience the hand of God setting down on our little campus church over there. Don't you want to be a part of that? That's what I thought. That's why 12 of you showed up last night. Come on. Come on. Don't you want to experience revival? Bubba, wasn't that good? Right. Debbie, wasn't that good? So y'all come on tonight at 6:30. Well, that's enough info, infomercials. But look at Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Now, if y'all honor God's word, you've been up and down this morning, so just stay in your seat as long as you'll honor God's word as we read it. Deuteronomy 30, 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses. Heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Father, bless your word today. We want to honor you with it. And we need to hear from heaven. God, teach us what it means to be pro-life this morning. We know your son is all about life because he came that we might have life. So we ask it in the name of Jesus and for his sake, amen. Being pro-life involves much more than just being anti-abortion. Now, I'm for life. I'm for the life of the unborn baby in the mama's womb. Always. I believe in what Psalm 139 says. You go home and read that. I believe in that. But I want to take a step a little bit farther down the road today and just talk for just a few minutes about what it means to be pro-life. Being pro-life means that we're involved in alternatives to abortion like foster care, adoption, helping and ministering to centers like the Hope Center that are helping provide life for women and babies and even men. And being pro-life means that we are not for euthanasia. Senior adults, if you don't know what euthanasia is, go look it up on Google, okay? That's you. That's me. We don't believe in killing our senior adults, all right? And we believe that we ought to care for the elderly. Hello? And being pro-life means that we minister to nursing home and assisted living residents. When we choose life, it means we're standing for racial equality and against slavery of any kind. We're working against human trafficking. And we're doing everything we can to help the physically and mentally challenged and to deal with genetic disorders. We believe in prison ministry. Jesus said, visit the prisons. We believe in ministering to our homeless and feeding the hungry. And giving a hand up to the poor. Amen? This is what it means to choose life. We care for folks with addictions. And we minister to them. Being pro-life happens from the moment of conception until the day that person dies. Life all the way through. Now, there are three essentials in being pro-life. And so I'm gonna kind of catch that in terms of three questions. Okay? If you're pro-life, you're going to answer in the affirmative to these three essentials, these three questions. And here's the first one. Turn with me to Genesis 4:9. If you've got your Bible, we're going to look at three separate passages, three separate verses. Genesis 4:9. If you know where Genesis is, say amen. That's the first book of the Bible, and we're just four chapters in, all right? Genesis 4:9 says this. If you're there, say amen. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And Cain said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" If you choose life, if you're pro-life, you've got to be able to answer that question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Y'all all know the narrative here in Genesis. You all know the story about how Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and they tried to cover their sin and their shame by putting fig leaves on. That's why I've always wondered if they ate from a fig tree. You know, I don't know. Y'all always see the apple up, right? But I'm sure you remember they tried to clothe their sin with fig leaves, and God, what did God do? He covered them by the blood of an animal. And they wore animal skins from then on. And I'm sure that Adam and Eve sat down with Cain, the very first baby that was born on the planet. Then later, Abel sat down with their two sons and began to teach them the lesson of how to be forgiven of your sin. There's no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And so from a very early age, they learned what it meant to approach God and how to come to worship and how to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. Well, Cain and Abel now in this narrative are a little bit older, and they both decide to bring an offering, a sacrifice to the Lord, right? And so they both build an altar. Well, Abel brings the very best that he has, a firstborn lamb from his flock. His was an offering of faith and looking forward to the great Lamb of God who would shed his blood for us. Cain brought an offering of flowers and fruit and vegetables and grain, that kind of thing. Now, we know that later on in the Old Testament that you see grain offerings and that kind of thing, but Cain's heart was not right with God. And his offering was, while God received and was pleased with Abel's offering, he was very displeased with Cain's offering. Why? Because Cain's offering, his heart was not right with God. God even confronted him about it. You remember? And he said, you need to repent. And yet Cain wouldn't repent. And then he got really jealous and envious of Abel because God was pleased with his sacrifice. And you all know that hate began to spring up in Cain's heart, and he began to think about doing something dastardly. He wouldn't deal with the sin in his life. Abel's offering was an offering of faith. Cain's offering was an offering of good works. And that's still the way it goes today, amen? And so Cain decided, well, you know what? And by the way, anger leads to hate. And hate leads to hatred. And Jesus said, if you've got hate in your heart towards someone, you've already murdered them in your heart. And so it's a dangerous thing not to deal with the anger and the hatred in our hearts. And so he devises a plan to take his brother out in the field. And I think probably took him out where the two altars were. The Bible doesn't exactly say that, but I believe that's where they went. And out there in that field is when Cain killed his brother. And you remember when God confronted Cain? Where's your brother? And Cain said, how would I know? Am I my brother's keeper? That's the first question that needs to be settled if you're going to choose life today. Are you your brother's keeper? Are you? Turn with me. Well, I'll get it. This is way over in the New Testament. Luke 17, 26. I think I read this a couple of weeks ago. Acts 17, 26, I'm sorry. Mercy me. The cold weather has got me too. Acts 17, 26. Boy, I like hearing those pages. Praise God. Amen. Acts 17, 26. And he, the Lord God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. What that means is there is one race, the human race. And in a real sense, we come from one man, from Adam and Eve, one man and one woman. There's one blood. And in a real sense, we are brothers and sisters of the human race. And by the way, if you're here and you've been born and you've been created, you've been made in the image of God. And so we see one another as our brother's keeper. We're related. We are one in the human race. Now, there's only one family of God. We know that, right? And our brothers and sisters in the Lord. But in a real sense, if you're a part of the human race, we're one blood. You're my brother. You're my sister. In human language, in human ways of thinking. And so here's the deal. Am I my brother's keeper? You bet your sweet boots you are. And by the way, I'm not only my brother's keeper, my brother is my keeper. You get that? He's vulnerable without me. And I'm vulnerable without him. And so we respect and we love and we support everyone because, yes, we are our brother's keeper. And when we see injustice of any kind, we step to the forefront. Amen? So am I my brother's keeper? I hope you can say yes. Because that's part of what it means to be pro-life. We care about folks. We love folks. Amen? Just by looking at some of y'all, I'm wondering, do y'all love everybody? Do you? Here's the second one. Look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 29. Luke 10:29 says, but he, this is a young lawyer, wanting to justify himself to Jesus, said, and who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Well, y'all all know the narrative, the story of the Good Samaritan, right? Come on, y'all. This is a dialogue. A lawyer. Kevin Kennedy Jr. Y'all, I say stuff like this to see if you're paying attention. All right? So young Kevin Kennedy comes to Jesus and says, what have I got to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, check out what the Scripture says. That's the Cal Hampton Standard Version. He says, what does the Scripture say? And he says, well, we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And we're to love our neighbor as ourself. And Jesus said, you have answered correctly. You are right on. And then he said, the lawyer kind of wanting to justify himself. Yeah, but who, just Lord, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And he tells this story. Jesus does. Y'all, I believe this is more than a parable. I believe this is a real story. Amen. We've been on the Jericho Road, hadn't we, Billy? And the Jericho Road, y'all, is about an 18-mile road. And man, it is difficult. And it is treacherous. Back in the day, they used to call that road, the Jericho Road, the Way of Blood. And Jerusalem's up here, 2,600 feet above sea level. Jericho's down here, 800 feet below sea level. And so there's a distance of about 3,400 feet, and it's rough. And so people would travel from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and then from Jericho up. And that's who this Jewish man was. He was coming from Jerusalem and down to Jericho. And thieves and robbers used to hide out on this highway, and they would rob folks. And that's what happened in this story of this Jewish man. Some thieves and robbers grabbed him and beat him to within an inch of his life and left him for dead and robbed him of just about everything he had. They even took his clothes. Y'all do know there are some folks who beat folks up. And then there are some folks who pass folks up. Because here comes a priest. Now you would have thought that anyone who would help this Jewish brother would have been a priest. And what does he do? He passes right on by. And then a Levite. And these guys were the folks who worked at the temple and took care of the things at the temple. And what did the Levite do? He passed right on by. And then the dreaded Samaritan. The one, the religious leaders looked, the group, the Samaritans, they looked down on them because they weren't full-blood Jewish people. Hello. And the Samaritan didn't pass him by. He went over and had compassion on him, the Scripture says, and washed and cleansed his wounds with oil and wine, bandaged his wounds up, put him on his horse or his donkey or his burro, whatever animal he had, and took him to the nearest inn and gave the innkeeper 2 denarii, gave him some money and said, you take care of him till I get back here tomorrow and I'll pay the whole bill in full. And Jesus looked at that lawyer and said, out of those 3 people, who was the neighbor? And he got it right. He said, the one who showed mercy. And he said, go thou and do likewise. Go thou and do likewise. And as I look around us today, Jesus has told us to go thou and do likewise. Who is my neighbor? Everyone. Everyone is my neighbor. And I am to extend mercy and grace to folks, especially to those who are in need. That's what it means to be pro-life. And it doesn't matter about nationality, ethnicity, color, creed, or even political party. Everyone is my neighbor. Everyone. And I'm to reach out and help them, especially those in need. And so what does it mean to be pro-life? Well, I'm my brother's keeper and he is mine. And everyone is my neighbor. And I'm to reach out in mercy and grace and love to all my neighbors. Here's the third one. Turn to Matthew 7 and verse 12. Matthew 7 and verse 12. You'll recognize this one. This may be the most familiar, simple commandment about Christian moral teaching in all of the New Testament. Matthew 7 and verse 12 says this. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. What do we call that? The golden rule. For this is the law and the prophets. And so the last question is, really, how do you want others to treat you? How do you want everyone else to treat you? Well, whatever that looks like is how you ought to treat others. Amen? My most favorite and the greatest class I had in seminary was on the Holocaust. It was an ethics class, and it was an elective, and I took it. And Dr. David Gussie just impacted my life greatly. And I learned about the righteous Gentiles who would rescue and hide Jewish boys and girls and men and women from the Nazis. And there was a lot of folks who just kind of did like the priest and the Levite who just kind of passed right on by. But there were some righteous. And you know what most of those righteous Gentiles said the reason behind wanting to rescue? It was the golden rule. Because they didn't want to be treated that way. And so do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's a part of being what it means to be pro-life. We want to extend great love and compassion towards people. We want to be treated that way ourselves, don't we? Or do y'all want to be slapped around and beaten up and taken advantage of? And so as I began to think about the golden rule, and I began to think about all the injustice in the world today of any kind to a person or a group of people, would I want that kind of treatment myself? Let me ask you this. Is it right to sit idly by while thousands of babies have been murdered? What if you were the unwanted baby in your mama's womb? How would you want to be treated? If you were a displaced Ukrainian refugee, or you were a Jewish mama or daddy without food, clothing, and shelter for your kids, how would you want to be treated? What if you were in a nursing home or a hospital? How would you want to be treated? What if you were an elderly person with all kinds of health issues? How would you want to be treated? What if you were a foster child? How would you want to be treated? What if you were the child of a parent who was in prison? How would you want to be treated? What if you were one of these homeless people? We had one of those here last Sunday. You know where he slept the night before? You remember how cold it was last Sunday? Paul told me this morning that that guy slept over in one of the bays of the car wash the night before. What if you were on the streets and homeless? How would you want to be treated? What if you were being trapped? This tears me apart. What if you were a child being trafficked for sexual gratification? How would you want to be treated? What if you were hungry? How would you want to be treated? You see, these are all pro-life issues, brothers and sisters. And so, this is what it means to be pro-life. I am my brother's keeper. Everyone is my neighbor. And I am to treat others the way I want to be treated. And so this morning, Second Mile Church, I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose life. And by the way, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the... And so I'm going to choose Jesus this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, I just want to thank you for speaking to our hearts today. I know that I know that I know your spirit is in this room. Your manifest presence is here. And God, as I think back on my life, I've missed many opportunities to extend the hand of grace and mercy and compassion and love to people. But God, I don't want to miss any more of those divine appointments. And I do choose life. And I so desperately want our church to choose life. Because Jesus is all about life. He's all about blessing. He's all about salvation. He's all about sanctification, growing in godliness. Oh God, may all of us answer in the affirmative to these three great questions concerning life. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning that has not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray that no one would walk out of here lost from this place today. And God, for those of us that are saved, I think about Matthew 25, and the question was coming to Jesus, when did you visit us in prison? When did you do this? When did you do that? And he said, when you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Oh God, teach us what it means and help us to be obedient to your call for life in our community, in our state, in our nation, and in our world. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to share the gospel with you. You need life, not just any kind of life, but life abundant and life eternal. And that comes through being so sick and sorry for your sin issue that you turn to Jesus with everything that you are and call on Him to save you. If you'll pray something like this, Lord, I'm a sinner. My sins have separated me from you. My life has been lived for me and it's a wreck. But I believe Jesus is alive and He died and paid the price for all my sin. And right now today I receive Him and ask Him to forgive me. And I turn control of my life over to Him. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for salvation. If you'll pray a prayer like that today and mean it with all your heart, God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, will come to live in your heart and in your life and in your spirit. Father, I pray right now for those that need to make this decision. Oh God, save. Hosanna, save now. And for the rest of us that are saved, oh God, help us to be filled with compassion for people. Help us to believe in life and extend life to others. Thank you, Lord. It's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. The altar's always open here. You come. If you need prayer, you come. If you prayed and received Christ, you come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.